Last week, Steve covered Your Kingdom Come, where we learned about allowing God to be king, in fact, welcoming him to be king in our lives and in our world. And today we're going to be looking at the phrase, may your will be done, and we'll look also very briefly at on earth as in heaven. As I indicated when I presented the first lesson in this series, and as Steve mentioned again last week, remember that Jesus' words, even as Bill read it this morning, Jesus' words were, this is how you should pray, not this is what you should pray. This is how you should pray. The Lord's Prayer, as we call it, is a model for us to adopt in our private and our corporate prayers. And so we should be seeking to incorporate the elements as Jesus sets them out in this model. From last week, as we recognise God's kingdom, as we invite him to be king over us, we will willingly seek to know and comply with his will for us and for our world. But what are we referring to when we say, your will be done? What is will? I have a dictionary definition that says a will is the thing that one desires or ordains. In the context of a person's death, we look for a will and testament, a legal document containing instructions, the desires of the person who has died as to what should be done with their money and property after their death. In the context of human relations, we talk about a willful child, a child who, against all odds, will do whatever he or she wants. And we speak about a person with a strong will or a weak will, who either strive or fail to gain what they want. But God is not dead. He's not willful. Neither is he weak-willed. And neither will he impose his will on us. He desires that we will submit willingly to his will. Where I work, I report to the CEO. Whilst I'm at work, the CEO has authority to require me to do certain things, to be in certain places at certain times, and to behave within certain boundaries. When she makes these requirements clear to me, the CEO is expressing her will for me within that business. When the CEO makes these requests of me, I have three options. I can submit willingly and do what I'm asked gladly or joyfully, or I can submit grudgingly and resent doing what I've been asked to do, or I can refuse to submit and do something different. How I respond will influence not only my continued employment, but also how I experience my workplace and my future there. Well, we can respond in exactly the same three options with God's will for us. But the implications for how we respond to God's will are much broader, much more significant than our work setting, and our response will have eternal implications for us and for other people. The phrase, your wish is my command, is attributed to the genie in the story of Aladdin and his lamp. By saying this, the genie is saying to the master of the lamp, whatever your will is, I will obey and do as you ask. In many ways, this is the sentiment that we should be praying when we ask that God's will be done. So with this in mind, when we pray, your will be done, we are asking that what God desires should be done. Now, the Father's will has existed throughout the ages and over three phases or stages of past, present, and future. So let's examine what the Father's will is and what we're asking for when we pray in line with Jesus' model for our praying. Let's have a look first at the Father's will in ages past. In Genesis 1, we learn that God willed all of creation into being. He spoke, and it was so. And in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, we learn that God's will was for mankind to rule over creation. At verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And it was done in accord with God's will. In Genesis 2, we further learn that God willed for man to be obedient. Verse 15 of Genesis 2, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. But the man was disobedient, refused to submit to God's will. In Genesis 3, we learn God's will for the punishment that would be served, but more importantly, we learn what God's plan is, his will for the future. In verse 15, God willed that there would be an offspring who would crush the serpent, Satan, and redeem his people by dying in their place. In Genesis 3:15, we read, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He, her offspring, will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. There was God's will for a saviour for the human race. Further, we learn in Luke 1 that God willed that Jesus would be born of Mary with the purpose of fulfilling his will for the offspring to crush Satan and redeem and rule over his people. In Luke 1 from verse 30, the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And we also read in Matthew 17 that God willed that Jesus should die for the sins of the world. From verse 22 of 17, when they came together in Galilee, he said to the disciples, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. How little they understood God's will for our salvation. And then in Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus also prayed that God's will for him should be done. From verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then we all know, as Jesus foretold in Matthew 17, that he would be taken and killed and would rise again, and as he prayed in the garden that his Father's will be done, he was delivered into the hands of men. He was killed, and he has risen. All of God's will for the past has been done. But we continue to pray, your will be done. So the Father's will must still be active for the present and for the future. So what's God's will for the present age? What about what God desires now? First, we have his global will for all people, as we see in the passage that Vince read for us from 1 Peter chapter 2, the key point at verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's will is that everybody will have an opportunity to hear the gospel and an opportunity to come to repentance and follow Christ as Lord. Second, in order that all people can be saved, and having dealt with Satan, sin and death by Christ's death, and giving us eternal life by his rising again, God now desires that we listen to his Son. In Matthew 17 at verse 5, the context is when Peter, James and John with Jesus on the mountain at the Transfiguration, Peter offers to put up three shelters. While Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Please note, this is not a command. This is not commanding a passive listening for the sake of intellectual interest or for academic argument. This will of God requires active listening with a view to being obedient when Jesus speaks. So what does Jesus require of us in line with God's will? Well, in Matthew 6, verse 33, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, in the instruction not to worry, and the story about how God takes care of the birds and the flowers, how much he meets their needs and how much more he will meet ours, Jesus said, "Seek his kingdom and righteousness." And this is also consistent with what Steve taught us last week on your kingdom come. And so in seeking his kingdom, we will obey his commands. So what does he command? What is Jesus' will for us as his disciples? Remember Jesus' response to the question about the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22 at verse 37, Jesus replies, love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And then, as he prepared to ascend to heaven, he asked the disciples to meet him on the mountain, and they were obedient to him and met him there. At Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has the authority to tell us what God's will is. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" This is how God's will that we read about in 1 Peter chapter 2 will be done. God will give everybody an opportunity to hear the gospel by us going out and telling it in obedience to Jesus' command. That's also how we show love for our neighbour. So for the present age, God's will is for us to love him, to love our neighbour, to submit to his kingship, to seek to be righteous as he is righteous, and to make disciples. Remember, if we call Christ Lord, his righteousness is already accredited to us, but we must still keep on striving with God's strength and with the help of the Holy Spirit to master our sinful flesh, seeking his righteousness in our bodies, in our desires, and in our will, thereby aligning our will with God's will. So what about God's will for the future? We live only a short time on this earth, but God is eternal, and he desires our company with him in heaven for eternity. Now, only God knows why he wants us to be with him, but that is his will. There's only one way for us to meet our Father in eternity. That is through Christ alone. At John chapter 14, verse 6, in reply to Thomas's question, "We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And at John chapter 5, verses 24 to 27, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man." And we also read, after Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to the 11, and in Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, he says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So from this we can see that God's will for the future is that those who accept Christ as Lord and Saviour will be with Jesus and the Father for eternity. But for those who reject Christ, they will be given their will to be apart from God for eternity? Whose will are you seeking for eternity? Well, before summing up, we need to briefly look at the final phrase following these three preceding petitions, the phrase on earth as it is in heaven, whilst following the last of the three modifies all three of the preceding petitions. So when we pray about the worship of God, hallowed be your name, when we pray about the sovereign rule by God, your kingdom come, when we pray the performance of his will, your will be done, these are already a reality of heaven. These things already happen in heaven. Therefore, our prayer should be that these conditions might exist on earth in the same way as they already do in heaven. So when we pray, your will be done, we need to remember that we are willingly submitting to God's will. So then we need to strive with the Holy Spirit's help to be obedient, to love God and to love our neighbour. We need to be seeking God's kingdom, his reign in our life and in the world. And we need to be striving for righteousness in our flesh, in our desires, and we need to be aligning our will with his. We need to be looking forward, hoping to be with God for eternity. And while we wait, we need to be making disciples who will also be obedient, seeking, making, and looking forward. And each one of us need to be living now in accordance with that hope of being with God for eternity. Will you pray with me? Father, may your will be done. May we be obedient, submitting to your rule, with your help, striving to be righteous, making disciples, and looking forward to meeting you face to face in heaven. Amen.